In Thompson, Illinois, there's a federal prison set aside for gang leaders and other men who are considered the most dangerous because they have caused violence at other prisons. But sometimes men get sent who maybe shouldn't be there. Maybe because when they got attacked at another prison, they fought back. Or because they have a mental illness and acted out. Now imagine trying to survive at that prison where you are surrounded by men who want to attack you and guards who use harsh methods to control you. NPR investigative correspondent Joseph Shapiro and Christy Thompson of the Marshall Project investigated that prison and found frequent violence, prisoners killing other prisoners. A warning, this story contains graphic descriptions of violence and abuse. Here's NPR's Joseph Shapiro.
Last summer, Bobby Everson got transferred to the federal prison in Thompson, Illinois. In his letters home, like this one read by his sister, he started sounding more scared.
This facility is for disciplinary inmates. I'm doing my best to stay out their way. I'm just a couple of years to the door.
And then those letters started sounding more desperate.
I got into it with a few officers and a few guys in here. Just keep checking up with me at this prison.
Just days before Bobby Everson died, he wrote that corrections officers had it out for him. They'd given him a new cellmate. It was someone, he told his cousin, he was afraid of.
I done got in a little scuffle with another dude they put me in the cell with. I feel the staff here is purposefully trying to put me in situations of conflict. I'm doing all I can to stay out the way. Pray for your little cuz, man, that I get through unscathed.
An investigation by NPR and the Marshall Project finds that the U.S. prison at Thompson, Illinois, is one of the deadliest and most dangerous in the country. Prison records say 7 prisoners have died violently since March of 2020. In 2016, we investigated violence at an earlier version of that disciplinary unit. That one was at Lewisburg, Pennsylvania. Then the federal government shut it down and moved it to Thompson. Now at the new prison, we found more violence and more killings caused by the same problems. Of 2 men locked down for 23 hours a day or more in one small cell about the size of a parking space. Of men placed in restraints, often painful 4-point restraints, for hours or days. Of corrections officers putting 2 men together who they had reason to believe would fight.
The chaplain had called me.
On December 16th, Sabrina Everson got a phone call from the prison chaplain at Thompson about her son, Bobby, who the family called AJ.
He said he was sorry to inform me that they have found AJ on.
They found him unresponsive in his cell at 9 a.m. in the morning.
That's Ebony, Everson's sister.
Yeah.
When the body was returned to them in Syracuse, New York, they saw the many cuts and bruises to his face and body. At one point, a federal agent told them that Everson had died as a result of blunt force trauma. But that's it. They can't get any other details, not even the death certificate, more than 5 months after Everson's death. Not even after calling and calling.
Hey, Ebony.
The funeral home director, back near the prison, he's trying to help.
Hey, I know you're probably calling on death certificates.
Yes.
I just checked this past week. They're not available to us yet, but I would expect them to. You'll not be too long.
So within a couple of weeks?
NPR knows more of the details than Everson's family. Because the day after he was attacked in his cell, another prisoner wrote us a letter. Demetrius Hill says he was a witness to the death of Bobby A.J. Everson.
On 12/15/21, a young prisoner was killed in cell F313. I'm in cell 15.
That's someone reading the letter from Hill. We knew Hill, and he knew us, because we'd interviewed him for our stories about abuse at the prison at Lewisburg. His description of how Everson died is disturbing. For one thing, Everson was small and slight, about 5'6" tall. Hill says the cellmate is a large man, heavy and tall. The Bureau of Prison says it can't talk to us about a pending investigation. Hill says corrections officers should have known Everson was in danger because the cellmate was telling them he was going to get violent.
He had been telling the COs for 2 weeks, get the dude out of his cell or he'd kill him. He told this to numerous COs, even on the night it happened. At 10 o'clock, he told the CO during his rounds to get him out the cell or he would kill him.
Hill says corrections officers ignored the threat. And even worse, on the night of the killing, one corrections officer even encouraged the cellmate.
The CO told him, just do it. Do it. The CO then slammed the metal flap, closed over the window, the cell door window.
We're not naming the man who Hill says killed Everson, because he hasn't been charged with a crime. But Hill says other prisoners feared that man.
He had at a minimum, at least 10 different fights with 10 different inmates. He had numerous assaults on the staff.
That's Demetrius Hill. Recently, he was transferred from Thompson. I spoke to him on the phone about the death of Bobby A.J. Everson.
To force this kid in the cell with this madman, they knew the result. He had just beaten another prisoner who had been in the cell with him. I'm talking about maybe two weeks prior, another prisoner, I don't know his name, and he was beating that inmate for days on end. Days on end, he was beating that prisoner. Finally, they took him out and stuffed Loopy in there.
Loopy, that's the nickname Bobby Everson used in prison. On this and some of the details we've been able to confirm, Hill's story is accurate. We found Federal Bureau of Prisons documents that list Everson's death as a homicide, even though the BOP had not said that publicly. NPR was not able to independently verify other details of Hill's account. Hill also wrote letters to a federal judge in Illinois with some of these same details. We asked for more confirmation from BOP and the FBI, which is responsible for investigating Everson's death. Did the cellmate kill Everson? Was the cellmate known to be violent? Both the BOP and the FBI said they can't discuss a matter under investigation.
Oh, God. I was scared for him because we don't know what's happening in them prisons, you know.
That's Everson's father, also named Bobby Everson. The family wanted to know more. I read part of Demetrius Hill's letters to them about how he says their son died and about how he was terrorized in those last weeks by his cellmate.
And Loopy stayed in his bed, pressed to the top bunk, clearly spooked, lost, denied even a shower. He was completely powerless, a victim waiting to happen.
I still don't believe it.
It's just horrible.
As for that prisoner who we're told killed Everson, we found his letters to a judge, and he had his own troubles. The man wrote he was paranoid, that prison officials wouldn't give him his medications, that he was attacked by a different cellmate. Just a month before Everson died, the man wrote to the court, "I am tired of fighting people." There's one thing, according to evidence we found, that he and Bobby Everson had in common. Both were subjected to one of the harshest punishments at Thompson. They'd both been taken to the place that some prisoners called the dungeon and tied in restraints to a bed or chair. That's another problem we heard about again and again of men at Thompson.
They are being what's called four-pointed, which means that they're having their arms and their legs stretched out and held separated for hours and sometimes days on end.
That's attorney Jacqueline Kutnick-Bowder.
They are denied food, they're denied water, they're not given access to the toilet. Many of them report being left in their own waste for hours and sometimes days. It's really akin to a torture chamber.
Kutnick-Bowder works for the Washington Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights and Urban Affairs. That group sued the prison at Lewisburg, the prison that was part of the earlier NPR and Marshall Project investigation. The Lawyers Committee sued over the failure to give prisoners at Lewisburg medications and mental health care. That lawsuit was thrown out after the federal government closed down the Special Management Unit, a program for prisoners considered disciplinary problems, and moved it from Lewisburg to Thompson. Now those lawyers are hearing about the same problems at the new prison from dozens of prisoners. NPR and the Marshall Project, too, communicated with or read the letters to judges of a few dozen men. And a warning, their descriptions, which you're about to hear, are disturbing.
The chains and handcuffs are so tight that your extremities go numb first, then they swell. Then the slightest touch when they do a restraint check will make you scream.
These are read from some of their letters.
The tightness of the waist chain and hand restraints felt as if they were eating at my wrists and waist. The slightest movement I made provoked pain that caused my mouth and eyes to flush open and stick as my body quivered.
Men told us the restraints are kept on so tight and for so long, for hours or even days, that they're left with scars. The prisoners call these their Thompson tattoo.
To be chained down inside of an ice-cold cell where the restraints are cutting into your flesh, forced to defecate and urinate on yourself is torture.
Over and over, we heard that guards put men in restraints over minor violations.
Hello, this is a prepaid debit call from...
Savansage.
An inmate at the...
Or that corrections officers make up phony violations.
This call is from a correction facility and is subject to monitoring and recording.
To put someone they don't like into those harsh restraints.
And each of those four units has a restraint room.
That's Joseph Van Satch, who spent about 3 years at Thompson.
It's cell 23. In every unit, there's a torture room there where they can four-point you.
In March, Van Satch was found guilty of assaulting a corrections officer at Thompson after a 7-day trial where he represented himself. Van Satch argued in court that corrections officers lied when they said he slipped his hand out of restraints and hit an officer in the eye.
Before, they used to put us in cell 101, the handicap cell, but the camera footage always disappears.
A jury didn't believe Van Satch's version. But NPR and the Marshall Project got access to some internal Justice Department and Bureau of Prisons documents. And they say three corrections officers at Thompson were disciplined in another case for exactly that, for making up an excuse to take another prisoner from his cell and put him into restraints, and then faking injuries to one officer to back up charging that prisoner with assault. Joseph Shapiro, NPR News.